Welcome to the Casual Fridays REI podcast, where you'll learn about the wildly profitable niche of land investing. Active land investors Adam Southey and Justin Sliva are here to share their experiences with you so that you can learn how to build massive cash flow and huge profits from this highly lucrative niche. So without further ado, here are your hosts, Adam Southey and Justin Sliva.
What's up, everybody? I'm Adam Southey, here with my co-host, Justin Sliva, and this is the Casual Fridays REI podcast. Today, we're going to be talking about what's going on in our business, what we're seeing, what we're experiencing, and what some of our consulting clients are got going on. It's going to be a good day. Before we do that, though, let's talk about the Casual Fridays land flipping blueprint. Guys, if you're thinking about getting into this industry, this is it. This is the course you want to buy. Justin and I spent months doing consulting calls and helping people out before we ever put this course together. So what's that mean for you? Well, for one, because we've done so much consulting, we know where people get hung up and we've addressed those issues in the course. But also, you've got two experienced land investors who came together and took the best parts of each of their business and laid them out for you in an easy-to-follow video format. So if this excites you and you're thinking about getting into this industry, all you've got to do is go to our website at www.casualfridaysrei.com, click on the training tab, and book a call with us. We just want to get to know you a little bit. We'll tell you all about our journey. We'll tell you about the course, and then we'll answer any questions you have. The whole thing should take about 20 to 30 minutes, and that's it. There won't be any pushy sales tactics, and at the end of the call, if it's a good fit, great. We'd love to help you get started and see you reach your goals.
And then you give them a free glass of Celsius.
Yeah, you got to stop bringing the Celsius up.
You've converted me.
Yeah, they're great drinks.
I was hesitant.
We're not sponsored by them, so we...
I'm trying to get you sponsored by them, bro.
I'd be okay with that, but we're not selling them, so...
Hey, Brian, will you send at Celsius a clip of our podcast and let them know we're around the world now? We're global, and we're just trying to help the brand out. Adam's a big ambassador for them.
Yeah, okay, so...
We talked to Brian in the microphone during our podcast because Brian is now taking over Adam's job as the podcast editor.
Yeah, do people really know who Brian is? Should we? You want to give a?
No, I think maybe we need to have him on the show. Let's get Brian lined up for next week on the show.
Oh, Brian's coming on the show.
Yeah, he's been hiding.
Yeah, he said he doesn't really want to, but at this point doesn't really have a choice. So
yeah, so Brian is our intern from the Air Force. He was a captain in the Air Force. He is transitioning back into civilian life, and to do that, he does a work program, and he's joined my team over at Plum and Land Mule and Casual Fridays. Kind of all-encompassing to learn land business and the different niches that we do and the different ways our business work, and as he's transitioning back out into the real world.
Yeah, and he is a land investor. So
it's very good land investor.
Yeah, so it's not like just some random person
I think he's done close to 100 deals.
Yeah, so he...
Yeah, he knows what's up.
Yeah, he knows what's going on.
Yeah, so he's a... It's funny, the first time we saw him, he's all clean cut. I'd do a couple calls with him a week, you know, video conference. He had full beard.
Uh-oh.
He said his wife liked it, so I was pretty impressed by that. I mean, great guy. You couldn't ask for a better person to be on your team.
All right. Way to go, Brian.
And that's hard for me to say, right?
Yeah.
So you've impressed me, Brian. You're doing a heck of a job. So let's talk about it Wednesday.
Yeah, man.
It's, I could go so many directions with this. I'm trying to decide if I want to go angry for a little bit or happy for a little bit or what we do.
You do what you want to do. I mean, I was thinking about this the other day because I was listening to some of our previous podcasts, mm-hmm. and some of the parts that I like the most is where we're just talking.
Okay.
And when I listen to other shows, I like when people just talk, right? Okay. It's a talk show. Uh-huh. And so I was wondering, do we even need to have a topic every week, or can we just...
You mean topic every show?
Yeah, a topic every show, or can we just talk about what's going on? Because that's what we do anyway.
Yeah.
When like most of our conversations are about land.
Uh-huh. In life. Land in life.
Land in life, yeah. And so I assume other investors like that also.
I'd assume that.
So yeah, let's talk about it.
Let's talk about it. We did I went to a barbecue Saturday night with my business partner from Plum. He had some friends over. I don't get the whole like be a sports fan and be like make or break if your college team doesn't win or lose. You know, like there's grown men that cry if their teams win or their teams lose. Mm-hmm. I don't get it. Like, and one of them goes, so you're not a college basketball fan? And I'm like, I mean, I get it for the entertainment value, but whether they win or lose, my daughter still has to eat tomorrow.
Yeah, I get it. I'm the same way. I am way more interested in business than I am. Yeah. And
I think business and personal connection.
Yeah, the March Madness. But maybe that's why we're entrepreneurs, and dream about it. It's because, you know, the biggest, most exciting people to me are the people that are out there making an impact, or they're growing a business or something. Yeah. You know, like, I love hearing about what's going on with Jeff Bezos. I love...
I don't know. Him and his wife and the wife's friend.
Well, I mean...
I'm a married man, and I don't think that would go too well at my house.
No, I'm not, like, about that. You know, I don't really want to say that's okay.
You think they were throwing keys?
I don't know, but... And this isn't like TMZ, but the fact is he was a dorky book salesman.
Yeah.
And now he's the richest man in the world.
I wonder what that mind shift was for him, though. Like, that's the thing that gets me. That's like my tick. And I want to know what took him from saying, hey, we're going to sell books online, because it's probably his idea is a great idea. And then he's like, we could just sell everything. And that's what they literally do.
Yeah. We can sell everything. We can buy every business. We can do whatever, control the world.
He doesn't buy like bad businesses. He buys Whole Foods. Mm-hmm. That's a quality business. Mm-hmm. So like my thing is like, I want to know that moment where he said, I'm going to take over the world.
Yeah. I don't know.
I bet he watched Austin Powers. He's like, what's the guy's name? The $1 million. Mm-hmm. I think he went for it there.
Well, okay.
Yeah. I think that's the moment that got him.
And did you have the moment like in your land business where that happened? Because I feel like I've had moments where I'm like, okay, this was my goal, but now that this happened, I'm going to just take it over. Like, I want to be on that top 10 landowner list.
Yeah. My biggest like mind shift was because we've owned a few businesses and all of them have done, I don't want to say they knocked out of the park, but we always had another job that relied on. When I was able to go full time and saw it be successful, for me, I was like, this is the recipe. You just have to do this, this, and this, and you can do it working on anything. And so we went from land to private funding deals to podcasting. I mean, those aren't really the same, but they layer on top of each. So that for me was like a mind shift, is that all I have to do is work and take the risk and be able to put a little bit of money. And I always say that money will buy you out of problems. Sometimes just having enough money to get over that hump will get you through it.
Yeah. For me, it was kind of this transition where when you're first getting started, you obviously have a ton of questions. You don't know what's going on. Yeah. And you kind of stumble through things. Mm-hmm. And then as you do a little bit more and you put systems in place and you just continue to grow, like one day, and this was recently, I just looked back and I looked at the business and I'm like, okay, so I know if I send this amount of offers, I'll get this many responses, right? And then I'll buy this many. Mm-hmm. And then I can close on them real easy. And then I send them to marketing and they sell and I get this much each month off of that.
Yep.
Right. It's the exact same every time. I know if I buy X amount of dollars worth of deals, I'm going to get X amount each month. So now I was thinking, the sky's the limit.
Yeah.
Right. I just rinse and repeat. And that's when it happened for me. I'm like, well, I wanted to stop when I got 100 properties at 250 a month. Mm-hmm. But if the system's the exact same, why not just
keep going?
Yeah.
That's it. And that's the funny thing is me and you talk a lot outside of the show. So it's not like this is the only thing we talk about. And I remember I called you when I bought Powerball tickets because it's $750 million. And you're like, oh yeah, my land business is going to be doing X amount of properties at this point. I'm like, dude, I'm talking about you buying me a company Lamborghini so I can just come in and just hang out at the office with you. And you're worried about how many deals you're going to do. So you're rinsing, repeating way too much. So if he says this, he's not lying to you. That's like really how his mind thinks.
Yeah, I thought about it too. If I won, because I bought, if the lotto gets over 100 million, I play.
Okay.
And I don't stop playing until someone wins.
Okay.
And if I won that 750 million, no, you pay 40% taxes, right?
See, that's the funny thing to me. That's the difference. I'm like, oh, I'm going to be 750 million. You're like, actually, Justin.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, I'm going to be 500 million. You're like, no, it's 40% in taxes. You're going to be like 300. Okay, a third a billionaire.
Yeah.
That's more than we are right now.
Yeah, you're right. But the fact is you're not winning 750.
No.
Right? But I'm still winning enough that I'm going to buy, all of a sudden my land business went from, I'm not retiring. My land business went from where it is now to where I'm only buying properties that are worth $10,000 an acre.
Yep.
An acre. And I'm going for big parcels.
Yeah. So the funny thing to me, like when you told me that, I envisioned you in your office with your laptop on a spreadsheet, figuring exactly what your return on investment was through all that.
At that point, if I had, you know, let's call it $400 million, I wouldn't be needing to offer that 35% or 30%.
You're just going after it.
As long as my goal, I think, would be to buy undervalue still.
Okay.
Right. I don't know how much, maybe 30, 40% undervalue, but I'm making that top 10 landowner list.
Yeah. I don't know that you know him, but we have a friend that's in the top 10 right now. Or I do have a friend the company that he represents in the top 10 landowners in the country right now. And I mean, that's crazy. I called him, told him congratulations when that happened. And he's like, oh, I hate it.
Why?
I don't know how you would actually explain him. It's a home office, but he essentially manages their money. He's a hedge fund manager, but it's not a hedge fund because it's all family money. So it's a home office. But he, in institutional investing, land is frowned upon. And we talk about that. And that's why our niche is so underserved, because it costs money, maintenance and taxes and things like that. And that's the way they look at it. It doesn't generate income for them.
Well, they're doing it wrong then.
Transactionally, when I talk transaction like we do it, he says that's the greatest market. Then he loves it. But when you buy and hold and you become the biggest landowners because you're preserving wealth, there's a bleed off that, and that's money he can't put back to work elsewhere.
Yeah, I see that point too, but maybe I focus on CRP land only, right? If y'all don't know what that CRP is, it's Conservation Reserve Program, I think is what it stands for.
Where it pays every month.
Yeah, the government pays you every month not to do anything with the land.
Yep, they just want it to not create the dust bowl.
Yeah, and so, or maybe if I bought 1,000 acres in the Wind Belt region of the United States, I'm having the wind farm people out there.
Yep. I'm worried about buying my wife a big enough yacht to sit in Antigua, and you're worried about running more owner finance deals. It's cool. It is what it is.
Well, they're not owner finance at that point. They're
mortgaged.
No, I'm not. If I got $400 million, I better not have a mortgage on anything.
No, you putting mortgage on for them, so they're paying you interest on top of that. So you still owner finance, but you still offer owner financing to carry at 7 or 8% at that point.
I think I'd be looking more for royalty type stuff off land.
Got you. Like you peel the minerals or peel the this and then resell.
Wind farm, solar farm, oil.
Man, you got too much time on your hand. I'm dreaming about Lamborghinis and yachts with $400 million. I will be one of the 98% that goes bankrupt.
Yeah, my Lamborghini and my yacht and all that will be paid for by energy and whatnot that comes
off
of it.
Here we go again.
I refuse to be a statistic.
Yep. And even a good statistic?
Well, I'll be a good one, but I refuse to be the whatever that massive number is of people who win the lotto who just go flat broke.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. I think that there's some irresponsible spending, but that's because we're not taught about money.
Yeah, that new money, it'll get you.
Yep.
So what's going on in your land business? Let's get back to the topic of what we
did. So we put a goal out last month that we told you we'd buy four, and we ended up getting four. You know, the cool thing is this past weekend we had four properties go under contract to sell. We had one fund on Friday. So that's five pretty decent sized properties that all made 100% on their money. So that was, you know, we're in them, I think, 16, 17 grand, and then sold them all for 35,000 bucks. So that was a nice little boost for the end of the month, last month, and going into April to pay out through April. So it was pretty nice.
Yeah. I'd take that.
Yeah. Book sales have continued selling between 5 to 8 a day. So I like that. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, it's all little pieces of the business all kind of working together. All the payments are current for everybody that's got terms deals with me. That's always a nice thing.
Yeah.
We got a bunch of mail out right now. Jen, our podcast, we're going to have her on, I think, in the next week. She got some offers. She sent out some offers and got some back. So she's got about, I think we've got about $25,000, $30,000 in purchase price. It's comping at about $85,000, $90,000. We'll work through those and see what all we get finalized and get into closing. But pretty good little turnaround for her.
Yeah, that'd be awesome. And for people who don't know, Jen was the
10th episode.
She won, it was either a piece of land or $500, if I remember right. She chose the $500. She put it towards consulting and got some eBay property, and then she took some money, and she sent some offers out to a county, and those offers are starting to come back now. And it's been kind of cool because she was brand new.
Yeah.
She was a newbie. She heard about this just randomly because of our Facebook post, right? And then she got into the show, and then she wanted to learn more, and Here we go.
So her first mailer has the potential in netting her over what her teacher salary is for a year. I mean, that to me is awesome.
Yeah.
So we just got to get the deals closed. So as we're talking about, you know, everything is just, I can say everything's going pretty good. You know, I don't want to, there's always little issues, you know. I mean, we had a deal fall apart because the wife didn't know the husband was going to sell, even though she signed the purchase and sales agreement. So we had and that was a buy for 13, sell for 80 deal. Wow. I mean, it was a smoking deal. That was like, oh, well, just call us back if you need us. So I wish I had some other things really to say, but just, you know, it's going good.
Well, that's not a problem.
Yeah. What's going on with your business?
Let's see. So last month was kind of an odd month for me, really, because I had a bunch of offers come back, but, you know, for whatever reasons, I couldn't do the due diligence on them. And
that's a tough one. So that was Socorro County?
Yeah. I sent out a bunch of offers, and I had checked where I need to check. I did all my pre-checks, and everything went out, and it was good. And anyway, I just ended up not being able to do due diligence, whatever. It'll get worked out eventually. But the point is, I had this goal for two properties, which two properties seems kind of low. To me, that seems really easy.
But I put it on you on the 16th.
Yeah.
So I gave you 2 weeks to say, hey, you're going to get two properties.
Which two properties for what I'm mailing, if you're only, that would be kind of weak, right? I would say 5 to 7, maybe the average. But anyway, I did get those two properties, but I'm still just like really, I don't know what the word is, but
did you almost cuss again?
No.
Okay.
No. But I just, it was an odd month for me. And so to make up for that month, I doubled my offers that are going in that went out Monday.
Okay.
And so I don't know how that's going to end up because I sent a lot of mail, but they're really good counties and I expect to get some really good owner finance properties out of them, but they're also going to be some cash flips.
Okay.
Like some, hopefully some big ones, right? You know, buy for 10, sell for 40 type of deal. And I sent out enough offers that if I only got one, I'd be surprised.
Can you tell us geographically in the country, like where you shopped? Like you could say west, south, northeast, northwest.
Yeah. West, northwest. Yeah.
Okay, cool. Yeah, our business kind of slowed down. The one bad thing I could say about it, it's kind of slowed down because of the multiple storms that hit. And it really didn't like sink into me until I had some properties in Arizona that we couldn't get photographers to because it was too snowy.
In Arizona.
Hmm. So, and I didn't realize the magnitude of that snow because we were in Texas.
Yeah.
Did we see snow this year? I don't think it did.
Maybe. I know there was a huge ice storm a few weeks ago because I remember Mary Beth had a...
It was black ice, so that wasn't roads were wet and it dropped freezing really fast. So it was more of a black ice situation. But, you know, Jessica's little sister says she's seeing some snow where she's at, and she's walking across the Arizona Trail right now, which is 800 miles from Mexico to Utah. 32-year-old female walking across the state of Arizona by herself. And she's like, there's snow on the ground. And she's having to time her trip to get to certain sections because it's too snowy still, so you make sure you can still see the trail.
Huh. I wouldn't have guessed that.
Yeah. So that's, to me, I'm like, hopefully it's going to warm up soon.
You think Melissa's listening to us to keep her company on the hike?
She listens to us when she drives. Mm. So she binge watches us or binge listens to us. So I think that she will do that as she comes back. Right now she's conserving battery because you don't know when you're going to have battery service. So she's getting a lot of pictures. She checked in with us last Saturday night, and it was day 4, and she had gone 48 miles or 53 miles, something like that.
She's by herself. How's she met? I'm sure she's met other
hikers. She met a female that was another hiker. It's an older, she's called her older lady, mid-50s. I don't call that old, but mid-50s that was going to do the first 200 miles with her. And they were splitting a room on Sunday in Arizona to get showered, eat, you know, clean up. And then she said once they get going, past that point, she's going to start ramping up her speed a little bit because she's a little bit faster than this lady. Mm. So.
Yeah, when she started near the border of Mexico, you know, I've got land down there. I was like, man, I should have her go by.
Just walk on by.
Yeah, take photos the whole way up of properties that we have.
Yeah, no, I don't think we have any properties on the Arizona Trail. But that's an idea. We could. We could just shop everything that touches that all the way across it and make it campgrounds for people.
Well, the idea is that they don't pay that's for anything along
that's
the...
That's true.
Because they have the trail investors.
That's true.
I mean, trail angels.
Trail angels, yeah. And that was the weird thing for me. I guess human...
decency.
But there's a ton of people that are actually like a lot nicer than we kind of see in the news and things. Like these people, like she got picked up at an airport by a trail angel who drove her from the airport to the border of Mexico. It's 2.5 hours and dropped her off. So that's a 2-hour drive down and a 2.5 hour drive back to wherever they live. That's huge.
That just seems creepy to me. When you said, put it in perspective, right?
Total stranger.
A 32-year-old female getting picked up at the airport by a total male stranger is going to drive her 2.5 hours to the Mexico border.
When you say it that way.
It's the beginning of a crime show.
It does sound like that. But that's what these people do. Like, they live to serve. And I can appreciate that. I think I feel like sometimes, and that's why I think why we do the show, because I feel like sometimes we miss out on that greater purpose. I think as people, not just me and you, but like as people, we miss the opportunity for that greater purpose. And or we see it and then think about it later and say, like, you know what? Maybe I should have done something in that situation. And those people, they're just light years ahead of us because they are willing to do that on the front side.
All right.
Like, I think that's why me and you agreed to do the show. I mean, we're not paid by a corporate sponsor to come out and talk for 3 hours on a Sunday morning when we record.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely nice to give back. I know we've gotten some good result or good feedback saying that they like what we have to say. So hopefully we can keep that up.
Yeah. Okay.
So... what'd you think about the first what's going on type of Wednesday?
I liked it, I think.
Hopefully we talked about land enough. I know we talked about the lotto and
Yeah, but I mean, life's more than just land.
Maybe your life. No. I can't think of much that my life revolves around that's not.
Well, land pays the bills, but, you know, there's more. Life's interesting because you have so many different dynamics feeding to you, to and from to you, you know? That's the, I think, the most important part is that we have to remember that we have different things coming at us.
Mm-hmm. All right. You want to end it there?
Yeah.
Okay. That's it. Hopefully you guys enjoyed today's show.
A little bit different.
It's a little different, but I liked it. Hopefully you guys liked it. If you don't like it, send us an email. Let us know. If you do like it, let us know also. That way we can keep it up.
Yeah.
And while you're doing that, go to Facebook, go to Instagram, give us a like, give us a follow. Then go to iTunes, go to Stitcher, give us a review, subscribe to the show. That's really important. Rate the show. That's important. And we appreciate it. And we love you. And we'll see you on Friday. Thanks.
Bye.